Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. We're going to review Monkey Man for you today. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this, well, brand new. Hasn't even come out the time that we are recording
That's
this.
That's right.
With thanks to Evie from Universal Pictures for the invite to a screening which we just walked out of. Fresh,
That's
unbridled.
Right. Like literally less than what, 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, we walked out of the cinema. So this is as on the spot, gut reactionary as you get from this particular podcast.
Big time.
Monkey Man is a 2024, obviously, action thriller film directed by Dev Patel, who also co-wrote the screenplay with Paul, here we go, Anguilla, and John Coley. And apart from being his directorial debut, and he also co-produced it, he of course stars in the film, along with actors whom you may know, Chateau Copley, for example, as the sleaziest of sleazeballs, Peter Bash, Sobita Dupala, Sikander Kerr, Vipin Sharma, Ashwani Kaliska. That'll
do. I forgot that we had to do this. You had to do this. This is better now.
It's 121 minutes long, no word on the budget, and of course it hasn't taken any money yet, but we will give you our thoughts on what we hope will happen for this particular film. Wayne, what is Monkey Man about?
Fantastic. Set somewhere in India, which I am unfamiliar with, an anonymous young man.
Yeah, which I kind of clicked about halfway through the film and then forgot about until afterwards.
I just realized that we don't actually name him. So he unleashes a campaign of vengeance against the corrupt leaders who wronged him, shall we say, and they continue to systematically victimize the poor and the powerless in India. This is the story of that revenge.
Yeah, and look, we'll be very, very vague here and very, very quick, I think, for initial thoughts. Vague. Because the film itself kind of is quite vague to
it
begin
is.
With.
Even
as
the,
well.
Yeah, even the thing I was reading was a bit of a spoiler. I just cut it
well out. Done for cutting that out. I think that is a very good decision. Now, there is a little bit of this came out at South by Southwest on March 11th. So there's a few reviews out there already. On Rotten Tomatoes, 93% of 41 critics' reviews are positive with an average score of 7.8 out of 10. And on Metacritic, always harsher, 71 out of 100 based on 20 critics, indicating generally favorable reviews. So there we are. That's our introduction to Monkey Man. Wayne, what did you think of the film?
Okay, first of all, I want to say that I really wanted to like this film because I like Dev Patel fine. I support that it's an established actor who's putting his life's dream out there, which is
because you had a bit of info about that whole genesis of this film.
Yeah, he apparently he's been doing Taekwondo since he was 8.
Right.
So that's why he's got moves. And this movie is in a stark contrast to the types of gigs he usually gets offered. And the idea was, it's like, no one's going to cast me in an action film, so I'm going to write one and direct it and produce. Well, help get it produced.
Produce it along with Jordan Peele. I should have mentioned one of the other producers as well.
Exactly. And so that itself is pretty cool. All right. So
agreed.
And he also did a little welcome at the beginning of this one because it's an advanced screening.
Yeah, that was
and
nice.
It was very charming because he's like, good luck. Hope you like it.
You could tell he was really like, almost like he's nervous as opposed to that very professional kind of Tom Cruise doing it.
Exactly. And he said to us, good luck.
Yeah.
You know, which I get. Which I like that. It's like, I hope you like it. I hope you have a good time with it. You know? Yeah. So I really wanted to like it. So I'll tell you the good things about this film.
Okay. You're playing cards close to your chest.
I am. Okay. So the movie's cultural elements for me are the star of the show. Like, you don't really see that many. I don't even know where in India this is. Is the Yatama or Yamata?
I didn't pick up the name of the place.
Well, I looked at it and I was like, I don't know where that is. So it turns out that he actually filmed it on a tiny Indonesian island in the height of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Is that right? This film, what, 3 years ago? Then?
Yeah. Which is probably why, I don't know. But
it was originally supposed to go to streaming, my vague recollection of reading about this was. But they were so impressed, the studio, with what he produced that they decided to give it a theatrical release.
Interesting. Okay. So anyway, you see the India, I guess, at night, and you see all the sort of like the third world stuff and the
yeah,
the
it's slums. Very in your face. This
very
film is
slummy. Very
yeah. This film is very dark, very dank. It's very visceral. I think that's the word I would use primarily to describe it. And I would suspect that the Indian Tourist Board very not happy with Dev Patel right now.
Well, the thing is, it's this. You see the skyscrapers, but right under to the left of that is Shantytown.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, that's interesting.
And I've never been to India, and to be honest, I don't really have a lot of desire to do so. But
do
from
I.
those people who have been, who I've spoken to, they do say it does slap you right in the face.
My sister went to the same thing. Literally, as soon as you get off the plane, you smell shit.
Right.
So, you know, take that. And so all of that kept me interested for a while.
Ooh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
What I will say is that...
What? No.
Then you run into a little bit of pacing issues where I felt like the middle of the film kind of meandered for a while. And I was like, okay. But I will tell you above everything, this is my problem. There's a reasonable film in here, but it was ruined by shonky camera work, Paul. I have two things to say to the DP.
Right.
I have two things to say. One, zoom the fuck out. Two, buy a Steadicam. Because Don't get me wrong. I know that there are filmmakers out there who Paul Greengrass, they make a point of the shaky cam. This isn't that. This is like he was trying to do Tony Scott, but he didn't have a steady cam.
Well, it's funny. In my notes here, which we scratched out literally 3.5 minutes,
yeah.
I wrote this is a combination between Tony Scott and Doug Liman. I should have said Paul Greengrass because they both did some of those Bourne films.
Yeah.
And I didn't bang into it the way that you did, Wayne, quite clearly.
Buddy, there's scenes, the action.
And I'll tell you why in spoilers.
Please, okay, yeah. There's scenes in this, the action scenes, right? Because if you look at the trailer, it looks like an Indian John Wick or John Cena.
Yeah, which is very deliberately cut together to be that way.
Right. Which I don't mind that it wasn't that. In fact, I prefer that it's not. It isn't trying to
Nothing's going
to
be as good as John Wick, try to be.
I don't think it's actually trying to be John Wick. No, it just seems to have similar colors or something in some spots.
There's a lot of neon through the film.
Yeah, which is I like looking at, so that's fine. But what it was that there was some... The fight scenes are so pushed in and so shaky that there was some moments where I just looked to the side of the screen because we went to a pretty big screen. And it may be a bit
near the front.
Yeah, so this is like epilepsy, the film. It's like, it's the, it made me like, ugh. And I couldn't tell what was going on in a lot. And I look at this shit a lot. I watch a shit ton of bullshit chop socky action films, which are done in Hong Kong 200 years ago. I know about fucking shaky ass, like, oh, we're trying to make it look like it's fast. This isn't doing that, but I actually think literally the scene was probably choreographed really well. And whatever the DP has been told to do, he's just, it's just NYPD blue, man. It's like, he's just shaking it for no reason.
Well, I sort of agree with you, but nowhere near as hard as you're going.
Yeah, keep going. Tell me.
So, look, overall, I think this film was good. I think as a first-time director, that's where this film makes its own bones, if you will. It's not like, it is like Tony Scott, it is like Paul Greengrass, and it is like Doug Liman, but it's his own thing, and it's got its own identity.
I would agree.
Not just because it's set in India and has all those elements of the... You know, literally at one point he's in a river and you can see the bits of shit floating past his... And I'm not, like, oh my God.
There's a worse shit-related scene than that, my friend.
Yeah, only just. like you really are...
Oh no, you're in India, the shithole, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I appreciate that about the
so
film.
So did I.
That, again, the joke being...
You don't see that in Hollywood?
The Indian Tourist Board won't love it, but...
Well, you know.
I think you're probably getting some form of real-world education about how things can be. Obviously, it's still a revenge thriller. And the weakest part of the film is the script. It is wholly 100% predictable.
Yeah.
With one or two minor quirks in that middle boring part of the film that I wasn't...
It's a revenge film.
But everything else just plays out the way that you think it will.
Yep.
Probably. I mean, unless you don't watch these films and whatever else. However, the devil is in the details. Mm-hmm. And whereas you're saying you didn't like the camera work, I think there's a correction that happens through events in this film that make it all the more startling how impressive the last action sequence is.
I think I know what you're about to say, and I'll say this without any spoilers, right? Yep. Towards the end action set piece, I thought for a second, oh, they fixed it. Someone learned to order board a steady cam or chose not to fucking like...
I'll give you my perspective on that.
And then it went to hell again. I was like, fuck.
I don't think it did, but anyway, all right.
Okay, all right.
So I like this clearly more than you did. I think this is definitely a recommend for me. It's definitely one of the better films of what's been a very disappointing year. And if you are into revenge thrillers and you want to see and support Dev Patel, who seems like a really charming, lovely
I want you to go see it just because I like him and I like what he said.
And if you like, you know, action sequences, be prepared to sort of wait for them, then this film, go and see it at the cinema. There you go.
In a small screen if you can, so you don't
maybe
throw
don't sit
up.
Right in the third row for the front.
Oh my God.
All right, there you are. That's our general review. We'll give scores obviously at the end, but let's get into spoilers so we can speak freely. Please, if you haven't seen the film yet and you're wondering whether you should go, and then come back and check this part out later.
Bitches leave.
Because this could get nasty. Moving on from here.
Please, Paul, go on.
Okay, first of all, we get to see him getting the shit kicked out of him a lot in the first 30, 40 minutes. He's in a couple of fight scenes. And I couldn't tell initially whether he was trying or he was deliberately throwing the fights. And I'm not quite sure if it ever makes that clear.
No, he's definitely throwing the fights.
He is throwing the fights. Because
they said you got to go down in the second and or the third round.
He threw the fight himself later on when his mate, his little...
No, from the very beginning, he goes to Sharlto and says, pay me. He gives him half the money.
And says,
he's like, where did you give the other half? You didn't bleed.
Okay.
So that means it was all
right.
Set up.
You're right. Okay. So it was all set up. But it seemed to be like, I don't know whether he could have won those fights until he goes through his transformation.
Well, a good fight thrower will make it look like a fight.
Like a real
as
fight.
Opposed to just getting his ass kicked.
Right.
So you gotta mix it up.
So it's basically we know he's chasing this guy who clearly had something to do with what turns out to be his mother's death. And, yes. he burnt his own hands there. We get snippets of this. And my first knock on the film is there's too many fucking flashbacks.
Oh, is there ever?
They could easily have chopped out. If there's 15 minutes of flashbacks and maybe 20 minutes, they could have chopped out half of that.
That contributes to the pacing issue.
No problem at all whatsoever. Yep, so completely. There's too much of that shot and too much of it referring to.
What he's doing is he's trying to like present some sort of mystery, but he overplays his hand. Because it's like flashback. Well, and it sort of pays off later on
in
the movie.
You do piece it together before we actually see the whole events take place. That's right. You pretty much worked it all out
Which
anyway.
Which means he's used too many of them.
Yeah, I would agree. So that's a knock on the film. His sidekick bloke who he makes a sort of friend with who's in this underworld as well, he just disappears from the narrative virtually completely. Like the script can't figure out a way to keep him involved. I think that's a knock on the film too. Either he should have just died or had that been a more motivating factor
for
him?
Yeah, because all he does then is make a bet.
All he does is make a bet, make a bit of money, and that's it. Like, it's like, uh-huh, okay. And even the sort of sex worker that he becomes friendly with, even she, apart from one moment where she clubs someone to death over the back of the head, does nothing else in the film. So it kind of loses its way a little bit there. So I think the worst part of the film is the script, because otherwise it is very predictable, as mentioned.
You could perhaps tell it was his first movie.
But the way the film looks to me, I thought some of these shots were breathtaking, the composition of them. Not so much doing the fight scenes or whatever else, but there's occasional shots like when he's walking along and everyone's in the background, he's in the foreground.
Oh, yes.
Beautiful. Some of the action shots when they're in the car chase, not during the car chase, but when they're driving earlier on, I'm like, oh, this all looks really good.
No, it's ably shot, which is why I say there's a good movie in here somewhere.
Oh, I think it is a good
behind
movie.
All the fucking shit. Here's the thing, Paulie. When you are doing a movie, it is like fucking film school 101 to say don't shake it too much. People are watching it on a screen.
Yeah. Look, I know that.
And so if you can't get past that.
He's making a choice. He and the DP are making a choice. And I do agree with you that it is hard to watch in places, but that's the whole point. I think that's what you're missing.
No, I'm not missing it, Paul.
I think it is.
Gareth Evans and him should have like a chat.
No, the first fight sequence where he's not ready and he can't quite pull the trigger and then suddenly he's set upon and it's all gotten out of control. That's what that's meant to convey. It's meant to make you uncomfortable.
Yeah, you know, it's disorienting on purpose, but then it becomes annoying.
Well, I didn't become
annoying. And it doesn't get any better, like, despite what you're saying.
It absolutely did. The second sequence when he comes back and he's in control
starts
and he's kicking his ass.
There's
lots of wide shots and lots of overhead shots and everything else. Mm. You're just picking on it now because you're like, you made a decision. You're like, fuck this shit.
Here's the thing, because I actually went, oh, here it is. It's getting better. And I thought like you did. And then I went, it fucked up again.
The very final
it got better because they were shooting for like, they were reflecting on the cinema.
Shot when he's standing up on the bar and the yellow lights all behind him.
Ah, good. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. That shot should have been one shot.
It would have been awesome if it was.
My point is
I could see everything that was going on at that stage.
Only on that scene. Everything else was flashy, switch.
And then once the trans people come in all dressed as their warrior peoples, then it becomes chaotic again because there is all these other people in on the fight.
That transition was not delineated enough to make me notice the fact that he's doing
it. Looked, I could tell the difference.
It didn't seem deliberate to me.
It absolutely
seemed
was
like
deliberate.
A jag that he had a couple good scenes in there.
Nah.
That's what I say.
Don't listen to Wayne.
Don't listen to Paul. He doesn't fucking know. Paul didn't have his glasses on. It's a lot of shit going on.
He's got his contacts in if you must know. So I thought that was cool. There's a couple real brutal moments in this film.
Yep,
a couple
times some he
bites
gore in
off
there. Some gore.
Bites off a chunk of a guy's face. That's pretty cool.
Nose, I think it was.
Was it the actual nose?
It feels like a nose.
I thought it was the side.
Couldn't tell. Shaking too much, Paul.
No, the lighting actually. That part wasn't about the shaking. Yeah. And then probably one of the best, most memorable death scenes in recent movie history when he's in the elevator fighting with those guys. And he manages to stab the knife partially into the guy's throat.
That's Saving Private Rainey.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, except this time it's a good guy, so to speak, doing it to a bad guy. Stab that motherfucker.
That was one of my favorite bits of the movie.
And then,
for sure.
When he can't get his hands any closer, he reaches in with his teeth and pushes in and rips the guy's throat. Yep. Whoa, nice.
And twisted as well. Pretty cool.
Very, very nice.
So that wasn't bad at all. No, there's a good movie in here. We just need to buy a Steadicam.
Yeah, okay. Look, I'm not going to convince you. You're not going to convince me. I know what you're saying. I don't 100% disagree with it, but I think you're being way too harsh is what I'm trying to say.
What it was is if it makes me look to the side of the screen, you've gone too far.
Okay.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But again, I think Dev Patel wanted you to look off screen. I think he wanted you to
any director goes, yeah, look off screen.
I want you to feel what's going through. And
no, but it
wasn't. The name of the credits is Kid. He's never, as you said, never given a name.
Is it so?
They wanted you to really buy in with this kid and really be feeling what he's going through. He had the chance there to blow away the guy that murdered his mother and ruined his life, and he couldn't pull the trigger quick enough, and now everything's gone to fucking seed.
Hmm.
So,
and that's why I say,
And that, unfortunately, the best gag in the whole film, sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, please.
is they show it in the trailer, and I'm like, oh, you fuckers, that would have been the great moment.
The jumping through the window?
Yeah, he's trying to escape, sets up for it, one shot running towards the window, bounces off it, bounces back up again. And in the cinema, there was titters of laughter because everyone had seen that shot.
Exactly. I had seen it, I was like, oh, here it comes, there it is. And I'm like, yeah, but it would have been a big, oh.
Yeah, it would have been amazing if you, because you would have thought totally he's just going to jump through that window, end of scene.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess they put that in the trailer because it's a nice.
You've made the point several times through the course of the show that it's the marketing company's job to get bums on seats.
Yeah.
And if they want to show you the best shot in the film to do that, then they shall.
Yeah, and in the end, if you less people come and see it because they didn't give the game away, it's still their fault. So, yeah, I get it. Yeah, yeah, all right. I just want to say that there's probably two very large fight action set pieces.
Yeah.
And I think that when you get to the time between the two of them, it feels a bit long.
Yeah, so they also really spend time. There's this throwaway line early in the film where it talks about a group of trans people being set upon by the government and trying to move from their land. I'm like, oh, okay. So they're even making a point of how persecutory the officials, the government in India is portrayed to be in this film. I don't want to disparage the entire country.
So there's a political sort of like...
bent to the film, very much so. And then he finds himself in the company of these people and they're teaching him to embrace his inner warrior, right? Is that a... fair synopsis?
Yeah, this is the Joseph Campbell hero's journey thing where he comes back and then these people...
Yeah, he's almost killed. He gets shot and they nurse him back to health, which, by the way, you get shot and fall on that river, you are dead.
Exactly. Dysentery. Sepsis. All kinds of shit.
You're finished.
Yeah. Even if you're not shot, you're in that river, you're fucking dead. Right? Something's going to go down. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you don't see pieces of shit in a film in the river in Hollywood, do you?
Not usually.
Yeah, and by the way, there's a scene in the bathroom where someone's gun falls into a pot... A toilet shit. Of shit that someone just shat out. He's got to reach in there, pull it out. It's not the best.
He doesn't do it without hesitation. You almost haven't registered what's going on until he's got his hand in there.
It's like, you're like, oh, that was a piece. Oh, that was and it was like fucking. It was diarrhea, son. It wasn't like he's reaching past a few logs to get to the gun. It was. It looks like someone got shot in the head, man. Oh damn!
Like I said, if I had any desire to visit India, this film took care of that for me.
I never did. Yeah. Okay.
Can I wait? Or offer slash ask you a question then. Did you think it took too long to get to that opening bit where he tries to kill the commander?
Oh, no. I thought it got too long between that and the end of the movie.
So, from that first scene to his, as you said, the hero's journey part of him finding, the training bit, the whatever else, the drums.
Maybe it's me, but I felt like that whole sequence where he was learning to come back in with the trans people.
Well, when he got the drugs blown in his face.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, I get it. Again, I must admit, this is a real issue of mine in films when we have to go on the trip with a character. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You can do that. You can do that for 30 seconds, not 4 minutes.
Yes. That whole, like the abstract, the shapes. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I'm saying. That's what the pacing issues were. Yeah. Certain things hung on to. And here's the thing. I think when you write and direct a film, you're like, no, every fucking idea I have is going to end up there.
Yeah.
Unless you got an editor.
It's harder to kill your darlings, right?
Absolutely. So that's why it's a bit of a tough one. But
all right, so you didn't mind the fact that he's very suppressed in the opening part of the film.
Well, suppressed for a prize fighter. I mean, he's still a guy getting who can fight on some level. Like, I think his biggest boon is the fact that he can take so many punches. Because I've actually heard that from an actual fighter.
The film makes the point of that, that he can roll with them.
Yeah. Well, I've heard that in real fights. Like, literally, if you can't look at a punch right at when it's hitting you and then bounce back from it, you're not going to win the fight.
Yeah. Okay. So that makes sense because you are inevitably going to be punched.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the dog bit, another character just faded from the film.
Oh, it's a dog. But like, it was cool that he used the dog to bring him the gun. Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was like, ooh, I'm like, nice. And that was, again, that was another nice shot following the dog along. Yeah, all
agree,
one shot.
Agree.
So there's some real flourishes
here. There's some
here.
Nice in here.
There's some flex going on.
That's what I say. There was a great film. Deep.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's great. I'm not going that far. Yeah. I'm saying I enjoyed my time and I thought the end was earned and appropriate as well.
I mean,
because he dies.
Yeah, and that's fine, right? And obviously, that would make Paul happy. But
because we never get him doing anything other than seeking his revenge in these kinds of films, and that's why it doesn't hurt when he dies. Like, oh yeah, he got what he wanted. That's the end. Well done, chick. And in the process, he saved India from the most corrupt party that there was.
Yeah,
he killed the two main people behind that. Well,
look, if his whole life was revenge, and then he gets killed at the end.
Whereas, had they taken the time to show him having some other life, it wouldn't be. It'd be much more of a tragedy. This film isn't depicting this as a tragedy.
I think at that stage it was getting a bit long, so I'm like, just die. Credits. Book. Fantastic.
Oh my god!
You're killing me, Smalls.
2 hours film. 2 hours.
Flat on. Yeah.
It's a long time for an action film.
Again, I think it could have had lost 10 minutes and been a better film for it.
20.
But then it would up my score to something very impressive as opposed to what I've got at the moment. Anything else you want to say about Monkey Man then?
No, not really. I don't think. I think it's, the only thing is that it is a very straightforward plot and the character doesn't have a lot of nuance and none of the characters have a lot of nuance.
I thought he was good and
he's a great actor.
He's a great actor. He has, particularly in that first half of the film, he's got some flexing to do and then he's doing it all physically in the second half.
Well, he's got the
when the Monkey Man kicks the shit out of the first guy who was beat the fuck out of him earlier in the film.
In the ring?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Bang, down. Bang, boom. That was awesome.
And then Charlton Copley,
he could have copped something.
He could have, but I really like Charlton Copley's like performance.
Yeah.
Like he's on the ground. It's that guy from the A-Team. You know, so it's like.
Oh, you know. District 9.
Sure. So.
Which one do you reckon he's more famous for?
I think it's A-Team.
No, it's not. No one likes
that
movie.
That was a Hollywood movie.
No one likes that movie.
We like District 9 more. Yeah.
Not everyone. Yeah. I know there's a few listeners who fucking hate that movie.
Just saying. So there you are. Nothing more.
All right, then. All right, Wayne, let's...
No, I want to hear yours.
You want me to hear first? 70. Yeah.
Fuck off!
There is a new addition to the soundboard. Wow. Waiting to happen.
56.
Oh!
Yeah. No, Paul, you made me look away from the screen. That is not the point of a movie. I should look at the screen. You know what I'm saying?
Clearly. There is no other thing.
He hires a new DP. We're going to 65. We're going to 70, maybe.
Well, look, no one saw this coming tonight, but...
Oh, fuck off. Just because I tell the truth don't mean I ain't no damn Megatron, motherfucker.
If the curve we grade on is about 10 points normally spread with me lower
than
you.
No, there's a big spread here. Yeah.
Then we're talking like 25 here.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big one. I'm actually...
24 if I'm exact.
Here's the thing though, right? Like, as good as a movie can be, once you lose the audience, and by audience I mean me. So, you know, for me, I just couldn't get past the camera work, and that's a really important part. So,
there we go. You've heard
there you go, people.
Here, ladies and gentlemen.
I stand resolute, motherfucker.
Wayne ain't changing his mind, despite all the evidence, I mind to the contrary.
You call it evidence, I call it whimsical opinion.
I thought you were going to say wank.
And wank.
Let us know what you thought. And you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X at thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show on Podbean where we host and check out the Facebook list community links in the show notes for what will no doubt be discussion there. And of course, thecountdownpodcast.com for all other links, including the Patreon. And that is it on this very, very surprising review. And Wayne being just a cunt. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
Or cunt. And we'll catch you. Oh, no, wait. Sorry, what was I saying? And here is the soundboard. Okay. When Wayne won't get on board, we'll catch you next time. See ya.